Father, help us to continue to serve your kingdom for the betterment of the church. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to Alaska. I got to be careful where I walk because I pace a lot. And they said, don't go out of the lines. So I had the opportunity to go to Alaska. It was actually the Friday after the revival. My dad texted me and he was like, it'd be really nice if you were here to help me dig this drainage ditch. And so normally I would just be like, yeah, that's cool. But for some reason this time it was different. Like, he's offered me to go to Alaska for vacation stuff. I always say no, right? I grew up there. That's why I don't care about going back. And so this time it was just different. He was like, I need your help doing this drainage ditch, right? Part of it was because he wanted me there to spend time with me, I think. And the other part of it was, I don't know, he just thought it would be funny. And so this time was different. I was like, when do you need me to come? And so what my dad did was say, tomorrow night. But I told him, no, I can't do that. I can't go until after Sunday church. And so the earliest flight that I could get out was 12:45 a.m. Monday morning. And so all day long, I didn't get to sleep, right? Because here I am having to go on this flight. I had to pack. And so I got about 2 hours of sleep when I was on the airplane. I got to Alaska probably about 7 a.m. And this whole time I'm like, okay, good. I'll get to get there and I'll get to rest today. But that wasn't the case. Like, when I gave my dad the open invitation to bring me to do work, he was like, we're going to work right away. I got to eat breakfast and by 8:30 a.m. we were doing work. And I think drainage ditch, right? I've dug plenty of drainage ditches. I was like, no problem. This is going to be easy. He's like, oh, 175 feet. No big deal. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? I hadn't slept. I slept for like an hour and a half and it was plane sleep, airplane sleep. Like, that's never good. And so here I was up over 24 hours already. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. So I go out. Yeah, because it gets worse. I go out. I start trying to dig. And the shovel's not going more than like 2 inches into the ground. And I'm like, what is happening? So I keep backing up and backing up. Finally, I get to a place where the shovel breaks through the ground. And then on the other side, same thing. It ended up being about almost 18 inches wide. And so finally, I was able to pop up some of the sod. And there was almost about a foot of softball-sized rocks all in the ground. And I walked over to my dad and I was like, you gotta come take a look at this, right? I was like, I knew I was gonna work hard. I didn't know it was gonna be this hard. And so, he was like, oh yeah, that's because we tried to put a drainage ditch in there before and all we did was put giant rocks down there and let the grass grow back over it. On top of it, what they did was they put this perforated plastic underneath. So not only that, the grass had interwoven with the plastic. So it was like a bundle of rocks. So even trying to get it out, I'm sitting there trying to like pull the sod out and lift it over. And the whole time, I'm just sitting here like, oh my gosh, this is the worst backbreaking work that I've done in a long time. After that, I proceeded to have to, after we dug the ditch, I ended up having to fill it in with 5 tons of gravel by hand with a shovel and a wheelbarrow. And I just, it hurt bad, right? Maybe for someone like, you know, somebody else, it might not have been that bad, right? But I'm not in shape. Well, I mean, I take that back. I'm in shape. I'm just more round. I'll say I'm not physically fit. So maybe it wouldn't be as hard for some of those people, right? The reason I tell you this story is because the main reason why I went to Alaska was because my dad asked me to go. He needed my help. He wanted me to work, and I told him that I would do it. Just like our relationship with God should be the same way. If the Lord is willing to ask us, not that he even needs our help, but to ask us to go and do something, should we not do it? Should we not be willing to follow what the Lord wants and do what he says? In Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another, and he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now, at some point during your Christian walk, you've probably read this scripture, heard this scripture, and maybe have even said the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I know I have. But it's easier to say it than actually be about it. See, Isaiah had a choice. He could have just not done it. Right? God gives us all a choice to whether we want to do something or not. And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. But he did it. He followed through with the action and went on to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Now I want to touch on two ends of the spectrum, right? On the one side, you have the people that want to do big things for God, right? Preaching, pastoring, planting a church, running a ministry. The reason I say big things is because oftentimes this is how the people that preach, run a church, all this, this is how they're viewed. Like, those are the big things of the ministry. And then you have the other side, the people that don't know where to start. They want to do things for God, but they're unsure where the Lord is taking them. Not everyone is going to get a podium, main stage. Not everyone's going to be this huge evangelist. Not everyone's going to be able to be a preacher, run a ministry, or even plant a church. But that doesn't mean God can't use you in big ways. Sometimes being sent means to go downstairs to the cleaning closet, getting out some cleaning supplies, and making sure that the Lord's house is well kept. See, those are the real heroes. The people that come in and do all the work that nobody else wants to do, they don't get credit, they don't get seen, nobody notices. Those are the heroes. Or help guiding a children in children's ministry. Helping Pastor Amber out, watching some toddlers, watching some infants, or teaching. I mean, they have a curriculum all lined out. God gives everybody gifts that are useful to grow his kingdom. In Matthew 25:14-30, I better change my page. Sorry, I use paper notes because one time I was doing a wedding and I did it on a tablet and I skipped a whole page. They didn't know. I knew they didn't. It was even worse because I was saying, you know, wife, submit to your husband, that whole part. And then I forgot to, I skipped the part where it says husbands love your wife. So it looked really bad. The parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have it received back on my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more it will be given more, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this isn't just referring to money, right? God gives everybody giftings that they could use. At the minimum, the servant who did nothing, like he said, could have deposited in the bank at the very least and still received an interest on it. But instead, in fact, the weird part is yeah, he worked, but he worked in the wrong direction. I mean, he still dug in the ground, but he wasn't doing what the Lord wanted him to do. It was benefiting nobody. The giftings that we have been given are not for our own benefit. Every gift God has given each and every one of us is to grow his kingdom. If we aren't being obedient to what Scripture says, then we are just like the wicked servant. Actually, wicked and lazy, it says. And hopefully nobody in here is like that, right? Hopefully everybody has a mindset where they're like, I want to serve the Lord with my whole heart. And then when we have actually positioned ourselves to serve, don't do it with a begrudging heart. Don't be angry about it. Don't be mad that you got to serve in a ministry that you signed up for. Don't take days off from serving because you feel like you want to do stuff with your own time. That's laziness. Like flat out, it's laziness. I get it. People have things to do. There's stuff in your lives you want to do, but when you know you've signed up for something, be there. It puts everybody else in a hard position when we have to cover for you. When I say we, I mean all ministry leaders, when we have to cover for you because you want to do your own thing. So next time, just think about it. If you've done that, you're forgiven. Just remember for the next time. So back to when I was in Alaska, right? So digging that ditch, that drainage ditch, took 4 12-hour days of doing it, right? It's Thursday now. Sitting down with my dad, drinking a nice ice cold coffee. And I'm sitting there, and my dad was like, I'm so glad that we got this done early, because now we can paint the porch. I'm not even kidding you. I was like, this isn't a vacation. This isn't fun. So I was hoping he was joking, and he wasn't. It taught me a bunch of lessons, though, right? This is probably the hardest I'd ever worked for my dad in my entire life. So he's probably getting it out of me while he could, right? Like when I used to have to go rake the yard, I would stand in one spot for 5 hours when I was a kid. Literally, I could have had it done and I would just stand there like this. So he's probably trying to get all the work he could out of me. My arms were so tired when I was painting the porch that like they were falling asleep when I was holding the brush. I was literally sometimes, because I was standing on this little like footstool thing and uneven ground, everything, right? And I'm trying to paint the outside railing and my arm is so tired, I'm just like, don't drop the brush on yourself. Please don't drop the brush on yourself. That's how tired my arms were. And then we got that done. And my dad was like, now we can replace the faucet under the sink faucet. It just so happens that, you know, it should have been a 20-minute job, but apparently, you know, you have to grind out part of the countertop to be able to get the new one in there. We didn't have all the parts we need, and of course, the stores there don't have anything, because we're in Kodiak Island, right? The hardware stores barely have anything. And so here I am laying under my back, under the seat, under the sink, back all arched. Literally, when I got back, I had to go see my doctor because my back hurts so bad. That's the amount of abuse that this guy put me through. Like, and then he does things that aren't even necessary. I sit there and I'm like, he's meticulous, right? He wants things done a certain way. And so I'm sitting there some of the time like, you're only adding hours to what we're doing and it doesn't even make a difference. But the point of all that is when my dad asked me to do those other things, I didn't complain at all. And the reason why I didn't complain is because I didn't have to spend a dime. My dad paid for my trip down there. When I went down there, I didn't want to go through the whole process of checking a bag. So I only took a pair of pants, a shirt, and, you know, socks, underwear, stuff like that, toothbrush stuff, in a backpack. I didn't even take any other clothes. I took one set of clothes. I was like, I don't want to hassle with the check-in, right? And so not only did my dad pay for my plane ticket, he bought me all new clothes, bought me a suitcase so I could send them back, gave me cash, paid for my shoes, bought my food. Like 100% everything was covered. I spent nothing. So why should I be the one to complain? It was his money. He paid my price there. In Matthew 20:28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He ransomed his life for us. And then sometimes in your heart you want to complain that you have to do work for him? I mean, what'd you expect? You were going to show up at church on a Sunday and that was it? No, there is action behind what happens. If your life has actually been changed. And if Jesus has paid the price, we should be willing to do anything he asks us to do. Once we realign our mindset of what Jesus did on the cross for us, it helps us keep a serving attitude. But when we start wavering in our thoughts and in our heart, that's when the excuses come out. And during my time in ministry, I have heard plenty of excuses of why people can't serve. You guys want to hear them? Yeah. Probably not, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Maybe some of you have said them before. I'm too busy. Work, family, kids, other events, husband and wife, right? It's a huge one. People give that excuse all the time, right? Maybe not to you, but I've heard it plenty of times. Here's a thought. Why don't you join a ministry that your family can serve in with you? I mean, there's the cleaning team. People do it. You could bring your family and children down here once a month on a Saturday and clean the church. Or AMC host. You can do that with your wife. Or even the landscaping ministry. MJ comes down here with her kids. She stays out there and does the work. See, even myself, right? I even think it's important to teach kids at a young age to serve. And the reason why is because it helps with a few things. It helps them when they get older to realize that we should be serving God's church. It also helps to keep them selfless. See, my son even, he plays the drums on the youth worship team. I bring him down here. I bring him down here to do the hard work, right? Like, none of you guys know that. Nobody knows that. But I'll bring my son down here when the leaves are covering the parking lot where it takes two dumpsters to empty them. He'll blow it out and pick it up. He helped me tear down that shed back there. The shed behind the shed, not the one across the street. He helps me do all that kind of stuff. Pull weeds, anything I ask him. And now some people might be thinking like, well, shouldn't you give your kid a choice whether he wants to do that or not? And my answer is no. And the reason why is because my kids don't like going to school all the time, but I make them go anyway. I don't give them a choice. I don't know what opportunities are available. There's a good thing about that is, first off, we know that you're probably lying when you say that to us. You just don't want to serve, so you should just say no. But you could ask any pastor, any ministry leader, any person in the church. You could even go on the FBC app. Where is it at? Right here. And there's a spot in the app that actually says, where is it at? Which one is it? Oh, right. Sorry, I don't know how to use this app very well. Oh, right here. Feet, places to serve. Bam. Every single ministry leader is right here. So if you didn't want to go talk to somebody because you know you might have been too embarrassed, you can actually contact the ministry leader directly. It's weird. It's weird that they have technology that does that. I'm serving in other ways outside of the church. This is a huge one. People throw this one out all the time, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. Like, you look at people like missionaries, Q Missions, like they're out on the mission field right now, right? But you know what they do in the meantime while they're here? They serve. Yeah. They don't just sit around and wait for the next trip. They do the Lord's work. Yes. I don't want to commit to anything. So that's a tough one, right? Sometimes people don't want to commit to things, right? Yep. If you can't commit to serving in a ministry, then how do you say that you can even commit yourself to the Lord? Because you're not being obedient to what Scripture says. You're not being obedient to the Lord, and you're definitely not being obedient to what the senior pastor expects here out of a church, which is a serving church, because we are made to serve the Lord and His church. Good. I'm a generous in other ways, like money. Look, if you're generous with money, that's great, right? But if it was money that got you into kingdom of heaven, don't you think that Jesus would have said to the rich young ruler, it's fine, come with me? No, he told him to sell his stuff. Yeah. He told him to sell his stuff. And the Bible already says give generously. So being obedient to one part of Scripture does not cancel out being obedient to what the rest of Scripture says. Yeah. I'm not qualified. I hear that one often, right? There are ministries you don't have to be qualified in. Like, there's plenty of ministries you don't have to be qualified in. There's a few that maybe you should have a little qualifications. And I can tell you a little story about it. Is when the safety team first started, and Dan Alexander started the safety team. And they didn't have many people at the time. And he was like, will you do the safety team? And of course, I was like, yes, because I say yes to everything. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I went through the classes, right? This whole time, I'm like, I am not qualified for this. I don't do well in situations where someone could be hurt. If they're choking, don't choke in front of me, because I'm just going to sit there and say, are you okay? And it happened when me and my wife were eating fun. She was choking, and I was like, what, is it hot? Are you okay? She had to pull it out of her own throat, like the fuzz. She had to... So, of course, it had to happen on the day, right? The worst thing that I experienced was on the safety team. My wife, my kids were upstairs, and they were moving chairs or whatever. And my youngest daughter, or my middle child, Jada Lee, pushed the chair over, and it collapsed on her thumb. The hinge collapsed on her thumb, and then she fell on top of the chair. And I'm on safety team this day, right? My wife comes running down the stairs. She's like, it's broken. And I was like, calm down. Like, you're making a scene, right? That's what I'm thinking. Right. I'm like, calm down. I'm sure it's okay. There was no doubt about it when she showed me the thumb that it was broken. I was like, oh no. Like, it was twisted in there. Her bone. And she was, and Brittany was like, we have to go to the hospital. And I was like, this is how much I don't like situations like that. I was like, I can't. I'm on safety team today. I can't go. I'm on safety team. Brittany's like, you have to drive me. So Pastor Jay, I think, ended up taking the safety team for the rest of the time. And Pastor Shelley watched our kids. But like I said, like, for me, I didn't feel qualified, but I was filling a spot that needed to be filled. Yeah. It's okay to do that. Yes. During a time of need. Yeah. The Lord's not going to penalize you for serving in other areas that you don't feel called to. Yeah. I don't get anything out of it. That's another one. And that one, there's only one more that I don't like more than that one. But this one is, it's not for you anyway. Yes. Like, it's not for you. It's not always for you to get something out of it. Our membership book even says, go from serve us to service. Yes. Like, you're pouring into other people's lives when you're running, when you're working in a ministry. Yes. The staff team is paid. This is the one I don't like the most. The staff team is paid to serve, so I don't have to. And we've heard it. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. People say it. Every pastor, oh, I hope I get done on time. Every pastor in this church served long before Pastor Matt ordained us.
Yes.
Every single one of them. I'm going to give you some examples of some people I'm going to name drop. Pastor Matt and Crystal. When they started the church, who do you think did everything? Or at least most of everything?
Yeah.
They literally served in every single ministry that there was because they had to take ownership of it because other people weren't there yet. So when they were going to the school, they were setting up, they were staying late to tear down. At one point, even long after that, where spots still needed to be filled, they still continued to fill spots. Some of you might remember this, but Pastor Matt used to lead worship on the keyboard sometimes. Now. Not quite as good. Not. Yeah. Full-time job. Oh, yeah. Full-time job on top of that. For 4.5 years. As long as with him doing all of this as well. When he played worship, and people that don't preach don't realize this, it is a lot easier to be able to come in and worship and then get up and preach than it is to come up, play worship, and then have to preach after that. Because you gotta think, he was here at 8 a.m. doing worship practice, got like 30 minute maybe break, had to come up, play, and sing, then he had to preach, and then he had to do it all over again. Like, no downtime. Pastor Todd and Aubrey. My people. I don't know if you guys know this, but both of them had full-time jobs beforehand. And you know what? They ran ministries. None of you probably remember the Master Greeter, but Pastor Todd remembers it. He ran small groups. He ran ministries all at the same time. Anywhere and everywhere that needed a spot filled, Pastor Todd was filling it. Pastor Aubrey as well. All of this time during this whole transition of them going from their jobs to being at the church full time, they went through an adoption process. And everybody knows that, you know, the foster care system is just easy to work through, right? Super easy. No problems, nothing. No, they adopted Rhonda first, then got two more toddlers. The whole time they had never had kids before, but they still found time to serve God's church and his people. Pastor Jay and Pastor Shelley. Dude, you guys are blessed to have them. They have servants' hearts. Like full on. Like if you want to learn to serve, watch them. Seriously. Pastor Jay, I remember back in the old building, was working. Was it 48 hour shifts? And there was times where he would work a 48 hour shift, not go home. Like it's straight 40, like he slept there. Slept at the, if those of you don't know, he's a fireman. He slept there at his firehouse station, whatever it's called. You know. He slept there. But there was times where he would rush from Redmond to get to church on a Sunday morning and still serve.
Yes.
In fact, he still has that heart today. And on top of it, they don't receive a dime from the church. He still works a full-time job and ministers. In fact, what was it? The revival picnic. You know what Pastor Jay did? Why everyone else enjoyed the picnic? He replaced a man's fence down the street because it got knocked down. That's the servant's heart, right? He didn't even go. He didn't complain. Well, at least I don't think he complained. Pastor Amber, and remember, I'm not name dropping these people to, you know, put them up on a pedestal or think that they're better than anybody else in this room. I'm just showing you what it's like and the leaders that you have and the heart that they have behind serving God's church. It has nothing to do with, you know, the recognition or what they can do or what you, well, almost what you should be doing, the example you should follow after. Pastor Amber worked a full-time job. She, started popping kids out left and right. Can I say that? Can I say that? The whole time, it's too late, I said it, I can't take it back. The whole time, she ran the children's ministry as it was growing along with the problems that it had with it. And many of you don't know, but she comes down here, she disinfects the toys, she does all of that stuff at the same time. She had wife and kids, husband. All of us. Oh, husband. Sorry. Sorry. I was talking about men previously. This isn't that kind of church, guys. We actually listen to what the Bible says here. Pastor Steve and Don. I'm sure Pastor Steve is the oldest pastor in this church, for those of you who don't know. And his ministry life hasn't been easy either. In fact, what was it like when we first got this building a few years ago? He was actually up on the roof pressure washing. I know what you guys are probably thinking, that's impressive. Because I felt the same way. I was like, it's impressive that there's a man as old as Moses on the roof pressure washing. I couldn't believe it. No, but for real. More importantly, a few days after that, he'd actually had a heart attack. Right?
Yes.
But as soon as he was better, he was back here serving God's church. If anyone had a reason to quit, it would have been him. Right? My health is bad. I can't serve God's church anymore. No. He just ignores all that, throws it to the side, and serves the church wholeheartedly. I'm not going to talk about myself right now. I'll talk about myself a little bit later. Because I got to keep moving. We only have 5 minutes left. But the reason we continue to serve the Lord is not due to money, but it's because we love the Lord.
Yes.
We love the Lord. We love His kingdom. We want to see it grow. And some of you guys may be asking, how does the cleaning ministry help the church grow? Because would you guys want to come here week after week to a dirty building?
Right.
No, people would stop coming. Well, I would clean it. It would be me. Probably wouldn't be as good as the cleaning ministry does, but it would get done. Or the children's ministry. Imagine if we had 100 kids sitting in the sanctuary. Like,
Oh my God. Like
for me, that's like a no-go. Because I have ADHD. So if I'm sitting in a chair and I even hear a kid make a noise, the preacher, whoever's preaching that day, lost me for at least 5 minutes. I'm looking around like, why is there a kid? The sound ministry. If the sound started messing up, who would fix that if we didn't have Kyle. Yeah, we didn't have Kyle, we didn't have Brian.
Tucker.
Everyone has the ability to clean, watch a child, learn how, or learn sound. So how do we get a send me attitude? And for me, I can tell you what worked in my life, right? Because that's all I can really do. I can point you to scripture and I can show you what worked in my life. And it was by understanding what I've been saved from. Look back at Isaiah 6, 5 through 7, and this is kind of what popped out to me when I was reading it. It said, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Even Isaiah knew that when he sat in the presence of the Lord that his sins needed to be atoned for.
Yeah.
There was no denying it.
Yeah.
It was after the coals touched his lips that he said, "Here I am, send me also."
Yeah.
Knowing that he has been saved from something.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you about the day I gave my life to the Lord. It's probably going to get a little real, so I hope you guys can handle it. But I don't sugarcoat things. So I'll tell you what it was like the day that I gave my life to the Lord. So I walked up to the church, right? There was not this church, a different church. There was a greeter at the door. This is the way I looked. I had pretty much raggedy clothes on, and I reeked like alcohol. The reason I reeked like alcohol was because I'd had a party the night before, and I drank till 6 a.m. I had a makeshift bandage. Sorry if I get a little emotional because the Lord changed my life. So I had a makeshift bandage on my hand. Blood on my arm, blood on my clothes. And you're probably wondering why. Why the blood? Because during that party, I got in a fight and I cut my knuckle to the bone. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't get stitches. I just put a little bandage on there. And you're probably asking, why didn't you change your clothes? It's because I hate being late for anything, even back then. I hated being late. My friend woke me up 20 minutes before it was time to be at the church. It's like, I'm not going to be late, and I didn't care. And I was smoking a cigarette. So, of course, I understand what I look like. I know, right? I'm not dumb. Like, I know what I look like. So the guy at the door was like the greeter. So I feel like the Lord wants me to pray with you. And I was like, of course you feel that way. I mean, like, dude, look at me. Like, come on. You ain't fooling me. For over half my life, I'd been an alcoholic and a hardcore drug addict. I was full of hate, anger, rage. The guy was like, can I pray with you? And I was like, yeah. I put his hand on my shoulder. He started praying for me. And immediately, I can't even explain it in words, the peace that I felt over my life. A few things changed in that instance. One was I fully understood that there was a God out there who loved me and cared for me. I dropped, and I had friends with me, right? I hadn't cried in years. My friends took a step back. Because I dropped to my knees sobbing. As the tears poured down my face, along with the snot, everything. I didn't care that people were watching. Because in that instance, I knew two things. Like I said, the first one, that the Lord loved, that there was a God and he loved me. The second one was that God was 100% holy, and in him there could be no sin. And if I was to follow him, there were some changes that I need to make. No one had to tell me that because I knew it. That's why I don't like excuses when people say, oh, I didn't know that I shouldn't be doing that. Yes, you did, because the Lord's going to tell you if you actually turn your heart towards him.
Yeah.
That day I walked down to the altar and I gave my life to the Lord. And my life instantly changed. And the reason why is because I understood these things. I was immediately delivered from drugs and alcohol. I'd done them over half my life. It's like 15 years of my life drinking and drugs. No withdrawals, no nothing. Instantly done. This is what happened day one. I went home. I threw away all my drugs. I poured out my alcohol. Threw away all my pornography because I was living in the world. Threw away all my non-Christian music, which was everything because I didn't listen to Christian music. And I wasn't a Christian. Within 3 days, I'd had a girl. Was my girlfriend at the time, and we'd lived together for 7 years. Within 3 days, I told her she had to move out. By the end of the week, I had zero friends because I cut them all off from my life. And it's not that I thought I was better than anybody, and some of you might be like, well, why'd you do all that? It's because I knew that if I wanted to follow what the Lord had for me, I had to get rid of my past so I had no distractions for the future. People seem to forget that. Yep. Like, you want to give your life to the Lord and still do the same things you were doing before. You think you're going to convince those people to come to church? More than likely, they're going to pull you back to where you came from. Yes. The reason why I tell you all that stuff and you're like, what does that have to do with serving? Is because after that, I was like, what next, God? Yeah. Of course, I was reading the Bible. I was, you know, praying, worshiping, all that stuff. And the Lord pretty much told me, not even pretty much, like, was told me, like, dude, just go to the church. He didn't say dude. I'm sure he didn't say that. Go to the church every time the doors are open. And I did. I listened. I was obedient. Because like I said, we all have a choice. So after being there, then I realized, wait, there's opportunities to serve God's people. And I know that we're supposed to be serving God's people. So what did I start doing? I started joining every ministry that I could be a part of. Any ministry I could be a part of, I joined. The reason why is because I worked hard for the enemy. I knew since I was 15 years old that I was called to be a pastor. And like I said, everything's a choice. So I look back on those things in my life, like, what if I had actually done what he had said to do?
Yes.
Instead, I led people down a path of death and destruction. So I started serving with everything that I had. Because if I was gonna be for the world that hard, why wouldn't I be that hard for God?
Yeah.
Since I knew what I was saved from, why wouldn't I work 2, 3, 4 times as hard as I did for the world?
Yes.
Because we're trying to grow God's kingdom here. That's why serving in a ministry is so important. A few things that God had spoke to me about is it was going to help me through my sanctification problems or my sanctification at that time. All of my past struggles didn't matter anymore because I was serving somebody else, and all this time I'd been selfish, and instead now I'm serving God's people. Like, this isn't like me. When I dropped my friends, they said the same thing. You've changed. I was like, yeah, because the Holy Spirit resides here now. Yeah. They didn't like that. I have a constant reminder of what the Lord saved me from, right? I mean, you guys get to hear it tonight, but I remember it all the time, which is the same thing that keeps me pushing forward to do the work of God's ministry. The Lord has called us all to serve, and I'll serve in whatever capacity that I can. Amen. Same with the other pastors in this church, and deacons included. Everyone should want to be sent by the Lord, even if it's unsure of the giftings that we have. But right now, there still needs to be work done in the meantime. And I mean, if you fit the bill, like, drop your excuses and just serve God's church. Amen. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we come together. Holy Spirit, I pray that our lives are changed tonight, that we don't just hear this message, that we are able to take it with us as we go. Father, I pray that you just put on people's hearts areas to serve, and that they will serve you wholeheartedly and dedicate themselves to you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I had a slide. Can you put it up here? I forgot to tell them. There's three ministries that need help all the time. Yes. All the time. And like I said, there's more ministries. There's AMC Host. There's landscaping. There's, I don't know, any kind of ministry you can think of to do here. Yeah. That's it. Do I excuse it? Do I excuse you guys? All right. I'll see you guys on Sunday. Is it?
Yeah.
Good job, Jeremy.
Good job.
Dude, I had to speed it up at the end.
Oh, you did too.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.